Hold it, fellas. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
It's time to get real gone on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Here's your host, James Riley.
This is Jammin' James Riley and your favorite hour for great music and interviews, the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Hey, joining us for part two of our interview, seen nightly on Conan, Jimmy Vivino.
I'm almost more interested in the Sidemen than I was in the artists. And what made the records great, you know, and most of America or most of the world only hears the singer.
Much more coming up from him in just a little bit, and we'll hear tunes from Elvis, Charlie Gracie, Diablo Gatto, Deke Dickerson, Chuck Berry, and starting us off from 1963, it's Knight Rider from guitar legend Dick Dale.
Hi, everybody. This is Dick Dale, and you're listening to my man Jammin' James Riley on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
The breeze you just blew. I'm just working on you.
That's the tune My Eyes on You by Deke Dickerson, getting some help from Dwayne Eddy from the album Echosonic El Dorado. Hey, it's time for our special guest once again. He's seen nightly heading up the basic cable band on Conan. Jimmy Vivino is our guest again this hour. We'll talk with him in just a moment. But let's kick things off with a track from the album Johnny B. Live, a live Johnny Johnson album featuring Jimmy Vivino on guitars and vocals on the Chuck Berry medley Bye Bye Johnny and Carol.
Okay, hey, this is Jimmy Vivino, and you're listening to Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour with Jammin' James Riley.
See the king. Some money, buy some brand new shoes. Trying to find somebody to take away these blues. She don't love me, hear him singing in the sun. But pain ain't come when the work is all done. I
for you. See y'all. Good night, you've been great. Thank you. See y'all later.
That's a Chuck Berry medley. Bye bye, Johnny and Carol. By Johnny Johnson and our guest Jimmy Vivino on guitar and vocals. Now, Jimmy talked about how much he soaked up the history of the Chess recordings of Chuck Berry with Johnny Johnson.
Of course, I grilled Johnny about Chess and how they recorded.
Sure.
And how that whole process went down, and told me a lot of interesting things. Like, you know, Chuck would stand in front of his amp, you know. He had like a little Fender amp, a little deluxe. I'm imagining it was a Tweed deluxe on like a metal chair behind him.
Yeah.
And when he would solo, he'd step away from the vocal mic, and the guitar amp would then just sort of bleeding into the lead vocal mic. And then when he would sing, he'd step back in front of the amp, and it was an automatic fader.
Oh, wow.
The Chess guys would choreograph moves like that. Say, look, when you play your solo, step away, all right? And then all of a sudden, they don't have to do anything. It just comes into, it fills the room up.
Yeah.
And then that just, you know, you stand in front of the amp when you're singing, and it's genius.
Oh,
it's,
wow, that's,
you know,
pretty
it's
cool.
The kind of thing. Well, yeah, it's going down live, man,
yeah.
Right? So it's like step in for your solo. You know, the old days to tell the saxophone players, step, you know, in towards the solo, and then step away from the mic in the ensemble. So we were steeped in questions with Johnny Johnson. He told us a lot of stuff about how it was back then. It wasn't easy touring with Chuck, even in the South, where rock and roll comes from, undoubtedly. We all know that people say, oh, we went to Chicago or Cleveland. The only reason guys went to Chicago is because they had to work as cab drivers, elevator operators, and in the stockyards, you know? And, you know, that's why they say, oh, it's from Chicago, but it's not. You know, it's not. It's from Memphis, New Orleans, Louisiana, you know, Georgia. It's Texas. And it gets up to Nashville.
Sure.
And then it comes north. You know, it wasn't created in Detroit. The only reason it's there is because John Lee Hooker moved to Detroit.
Yeah.
You know? And it wasn't certainly, and all the California guys too, you know, all the South Central blues and rock and roll guys and the Johnny Otises, that they weren't, you know, I know the people that played with Johnny Otis, Lowell Folsom, he wasn't born in California, you know?
Yeah.
So everybody migrated, and then sounds became different, but it's purely a Southern thing. It's purely a Southern thing. Rock and roll comes from the South. Lee Von Helm always said, that damn museum ought to be in Memphis. You know?
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
The only reason it's in Cleveland is because some DJ paid some people off, and we know who that is.
Sure. You
know? Yeah.
Running to and fro, hard working at the mill, never fail in the mail, yet come a rotten bill. Too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Salesman talking to me, trying to run me up a creek, say you can buy it, go and try it, you can pay me next week. Ah, too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Good looking, trying to get me hooked, want me to marry, get a home, settle down, write a book. Too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business for me to be involved. Same thing every day, getting up, going to school, no need of me complaining, my objections overrule. Ah, too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business for me to be involved. phone, something wrong, dime gone, will mail, or the suitor operator for telling me a tale. Ah, too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Been to Yokohama, been fighting in the war. Army bunk, army chow, army crew, army car. Ha. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Working in the filling station, too many tasks. Wipe the windows, check the tires, check the oil, a dollar gas. Ha. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. I don't want your botheration. Get away, leave me be.
The sounds of sirens, subways, and busy crowds of people makes Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Dion feel right at home. New York Is My Home is the latest project from Dion and co-produced by Jimmy Vivino, featuring guest vocals by fellow New Yorker Paul Simon on the title cut.
I'm not alone, New York is my home.
New York Is My Home contains 8 new Dion compositions and 2 choice blues covers. The result is pure rock and roll from the legend that's lived a lifetime defining it.
I can't go back to Memphis. I'm just got to roam.
Dion, New York Is My Home.
Big Al Seal, honking, moaning, rocking the righteous red. Oh, yeah.
New York Is My Home from Dion, available from Instant Records. When it comes to fashion designs from the golden 50s era of rockabilly, nobody does it like Tokyo's The King, featuring shirts, shoes, jackets, accessories, and more. And the only place to find a suit and dream flap shoes in collaboration with neo-rockabilly legend Levi Dexter, and a selection of dresses from Bernie Dexter. If you're a fan of Elvis and rockabilly-style clothing, check out The King. Go to the-king.jp. Hey, we're back on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. We just heard Chuck Berry's Too Much Monkey Business, released in September 1956 on Chess Records. Now, Chuck was a huge influence on our guest this hour, Jimmy Vivino.
Well, let's talk about this 13 Live project you did, Jimmy Vivino and the Black Italians. Man, such a great recording. So much fun. And in particular, love the tune Heaven in a Pontiac.
I wrote that. And when I first got up to Woodstock, when I had moved up there for a while, the thing was I was really tight with John Sebastian. So I wanted him to show me around. They said, oh, let's go over to Levon's. I said, really? Man, let's go over to Levon's, See if Limon's around. I get there, and this is way, way back, and man, get there, and there's a porch, the barn is the house. There's the barn, which was the studio, and then attached on the side is a small house, really, but the porch. I had never seen anything like this in my life. Stacked up on the porch, Coke bottles, glass ones, right? Cases. In wood cases, like wood Coca-Cola cases.
Yeah.
Guy was a Coke freak, but not the kind of Coke freak everybody else was.
Yeah.
And he was just a joy, just the most gentleman you can imagine. Hospitable, he was brought up right in Arkansas by his father Diamond, and his sister and him played music together at the fair, and he told me stories about Elvis coming through town in a flatbed,
Sure.
And he saw DJ playing the drums, and that was it. He was hooked. It was DJ that got him to playing the drums, and a cat named Pet Curtis, who played the King Biscuit Flower Hour with Sonny Boy Williams.
Okay.
And he, would see Peck, and he finally got Peck's drum kit, that you see on the cut. It says King Biscuit Boys on it. It's on a Sonny Boy record cover. Levon donated that to the museum in Memphis. It was Sonny Payne's radio show that brought everybody together. Sonny Payne played blues 15 minutes every day. The King Biscuit commercials would come on, and it was a big hookup with Memphis, East Memphis, and Arkansas, I believe. All the musicians from that part, Mississippi, Memphis, Arkansas, that was blues turned into rock and roll. So Levon, I was working on a project up there, and I wrote that song Heaven in a Pontiac when I was up there. Thinking, of course, Chuck Berry, cars and songs like that.
Sure.
So We recorded it. I never released it. I recorded it with Levon and Rick Danko and Garth and a bunch of other people, Richard Bell, Jim Weeder, the band, basically. I have a whole record we did up there, and that's one of the tunes, but I never released it because everybody was dying out from under the project, one by one.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'm not going to put this out. I don't like the posthumous thing of, wow, here's, you know, someone just died, put the record out now. You know, so I resurrected that tune that night because we were playing in Levon's barn. He had passed away. You know, we played, you know, and that was a live, just like off the cuff. We never rehearsed it. I just said, let's go. You can't make a mistake in this. You can only make a choice.
Yeah.
Go.
Tell me about touring and doing some shows with Lee Rocker.
You know, Lee is a Long Island boy, you know, and he was aware of what was going on up at the Rambles with Levon when I was up there playing in the band with Levon. And Lee showed up one night. And, you know, Levon only used upright bass. He hated electric bass, you know.
Uh-huh.
Bring the doghouse in, you know.
Yeah.
Say, man, don't play that electric bass. Get that doghouse and bring it up and slap that thing, you know. And we had some pretty good bass players up there playing. But Lee shows up one night, and, you know, we had never met. So we met up there at a Ramble. And he said, well, I'd love to play. You think I could sit in? And I said, sure you can, man. So he grabbed that bass, right? And he got right up front on a microphone and started doing his thing, you know, which we know is he is the heaviest.
Yeah.
You know, he's a great singer.
Sure.
Which I didn't know. It seemed like Brian only did all the leads, but they sing exactly the same.
Yeah.
They sound like the same guy, right?
Yeah.
So he gets up, and Levon was loving it. He had never, none of the New York guys we had could do that, could do what Lee did, you know? I mean, Tony Garnier could do it, but he didn't do it. Lee naturally does that, you know? He'll kick up the solo and get into that slapping thing that he does. So that was it. I said, man, we have to do something, you know? So we started Rumble and Twang together whenever we could get together, and we did a ramble. The first thing we did was a ramble, and the first person I called was Robert Gordon, who I know forever, you know, in New York. And he's like, yeah, I'm in, man, you know? The voice over the phone, it's like, wow, how's it going, man?
Absolutely, man. What a voice.
Oh, my God. Nobody can fill up a room with voice like that guy.
Yeah.
You know? And just, he's so official. What else can I say?
Yeah.
You know? He's the elder statesman now of the second wave of rockabilly, really.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, he really is, you know. And only Sleepy LaBeef had a voice like that.
Sure.
That's people true. I worked with, you know? Yeah. Matt Curtis, but I didn't work with Matt Curtis, but he had a voice like that, too.
Yeah.
You know? Matt Curtis is one of my favorites ever. He's sort of an unknown outside of, you know, real Billy circles, you know?
Sure.
And great. I used to do a song by him, too, called Side Thing that I recorded and never released, which I love. But anyway, so then Rumble and Twang started up, and we started doing some dates, and then I would play with his band out here sometimes. When he'd do a date, he would put me on as a second guitar player. Buzz Campbell is his guitar player. You know Buzz at
sure.
all?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, he's great, man. You know, him and Brophy Dale, he's got two great players out here. So I started to meet cats out here, T.K. Smith and Pete Dickerson, you know?
Oh, sure.
So I got introduced into that circle. There's sort of a Western swing rockabilly circle of players out here that's just great, you know. And then the Alvins, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a thing out here that's real official. I mean, they're serious, you know. I sort of slum in it because I play so many styles.
Yeah.
You know, these cats just concentrate on what they love, and I really appreciate that. In my position as a musician over the years, I've had to learn to do everything and to do a little bit of it okay.
Yeah.
But when you dedicate, you find somebody that's dedicated to a certain style, you know, there's a difference between you and them when it comes to playing that. I can get by, but guys like Buzz and Dave Alvin and, you know, Deke are just unbelievably versed. And you know, Deke can play... Deke can play all that Hank Garland stuff. So anyway, yeah, Lee introduced me to the whole scene out here. You know, so we still do that when we can.
Yeah.
We haven't recorded or anything like that, but we will. We're threatening. You know, it takes us 30 years to do anything, so.
Well, it's usually worth the wait, so there you go. Lots of footage on YouTube, and people can Google that. And along with, you mentioned Robert Gordon, there's some stuff on YouTube with you guys
and
Robert.
Yeah, that's in the barn. That's up at Lemont.
Yeah.
Robert.
Swing to the rhythm and feel the beat. Everybody move out on the
Slap That Bass, that's Lee Rocker. It's an artist our guest Jimmy Vivino often gets to do some shows with, and hopefully we'll hear some recordings from them in the future. Now, Jimmy also talked about connecting with folks like Quentin Jones of the Reach Around Radio Clowns, who was also playing and doing some production with Charlie Gracie, along with Al Cooper, who asked him to come and play on a couple of tracks on an album called For the Love of Charlie. Here's Jimmy.
So when I met Quentin through Al Cooper, because Charlie Gracie was playing, and we know Charlie Gracie, man, you know,
sure,
it's like a legend. And he's still got that same Guild guitar, and he still can burn on the guitar.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah.
No, I was like, oh, I guess Quentin's going to play lead all night, right?
Yeah.
No. Charlie was on fire, man. And I said, Al Cooper said to me, yeah, Charlie wants you to play on a couple tracks. I said, why? You know, why? Why wouldn't he do it, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it was nice of Charlie to even think of me, I thought, you know. So God bless you, Charlie. Yeah.
Ain't gonna sit around singing the blues. I'm gonna get out my dancing shoes. I'm gonna shake, shuffle, shimmy to the break of day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna keep on dancing till I dance my blues away. I'm gonna put on my shoes, get on the floor. I'm gonna dance till I can't no more. I'm gonna shake, shuffle, shimmy to the break of day. I'm gonna keep on dancing till I dance my blues away. That's right. Hard times may come, but now they're gone. I'm going downtown with my new suit on. I'm gonna shake, shuffle, shimmy to the breaking day. I'm gonna keep on dancing till I dance my blues away. Keep on dancing. I don't know how I'm gonna pay my rent. I'm gonna shake, shuffle, shimmy to the break of day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna keep on dancing till I dance my blues away. When the landlord comes knocking at my front door, he says,
"Yo, Charlie, you don't live here no more."
I'm gonna shake, shuffle, shimmy to the break of day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna keep on dancing till I dance my blues away. Yes, I'm gonna keep on dancing till I dance my blues away. Keep on.
He's been inducted into the Musicians Hall of Fame and Museum.
And heard in the cult classic Pulp Fiction.
He is guitar legend Dick Dale. And he's coming to the Nashville Palace Friday, May 27th at 8 p.m. Doors opening at 7 p.m. For more information, go to MoneyRootsMusic.com. Also, come meet some of the team from WXNA 101.5 FM Nashville. And don't miss your chance to see guitar legend Dick Dale live in Nashville. This is Jammin' James Riley. We just heard Dance My Blues Away by Charlie Gracie. It's a track our guest Jimmy Vivino played on, as well as Al Cooper, Quentin Jones, and others. I'm going to start a segment. This will be the first show we started with. And I'm going to, from now on, when I talk to guitar players, we're going to start a segment called Riffin' on Rockabilly. So if I say that to you, what's a rockabilly riff that stands out to you? If you had to immediately, somebody hands you a guitar, play a rockabilly riff, what would you think about?
I would have to say That's All Right, probably.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably it. The solo and That's All Right.
Yeah.
Scotty solo. There's only one way to play it.
Sure.
You know, you can't play That's All Right and not try at least to play that solo.
Yeah, that's right.
Otherwise, somebody should come up and just beat you over the head with a guitar.
Yeah.
If you think you're going to do it. That's, you know, that might be that's probably the first one.
Yeah.
I said, oh, that's so cool, you know, because it's so melodic and everything. And, you know, and that's probably, to me, defines the genre over everything.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Reading these Garamic books again, and just
how that whole thing happened. So innocent. You think rock and roll now, it's so, you know, it's been around for so long. We all know the history and stuff. But at the time, man, they didn't know what they were doing. Kind of goofing around and boom.
Well, Scotty says, you know, Scotty came on a couple of times, he came on the show, once with the Sun Rhythm, I think, you know?
Yeah.
And then once he just came to sit in with us, you know, and we had a great time. And I talked to Scotty about it, and he said, you know, we didn't call rock and there was no such name as rock and roll yet for us.
Yeah.
You know, down there. And there was no such, never such name, none of rockabilly. That was just, we don't know what y'all think that is.
But, yeah.
You know, we're playing music. We're playing, to us, to him and Bill, it was country music. You know?
Sure.
I mean, they played, they had cowboy hats and scarves in the bar where they played, you know, and that's what they called it. And then we would play stuff, sit down, and I would sit down to him and ask him to show me stuff. He says, well, you remember it better than I do, you know. He says, I played it that one time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I played it that, I said, well, what about the solo on Too Much, right? And he said, well, I was lost.
Oh, that's great.
What happened. Yeah. Play that one. Go learn that solo, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's funny. Oh,
and I asked him, too. I said, you know, I said, there was a rare thing. You know, on the second chorus you take on Hound Dog, you know, there's like this open guitar, bang, before you start playing, you know?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, because I was so surprised Elvis turned to me and said, do another solo. He said, you never play two solos on a record, ever.
Yeah.
That was the first time there were two breaks. And he's like caught by surprise. And he just, you hear the open guitar go, bang, the second one starts. It's like, it's so beautiful because he's obviously, you know, he was there on the RCA stuff being monitored. They had Chet Atkins in there just in case Scotty didn't perform well.
Yeah.
You know? And he was aware of it, I think. It's a well-known story, right? That they show up at the RCA sessions, and all of a sudden, you know, there's like another band kind of waiting around to see if Elvis's guy can cut it.
Yeah.
And Elvis, to his credit, and this was the punk thing about him then, wasn't going to do it without his guy.
Yeah.
Because he knew. He knew those guys were as much the sound as he was at the time.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right, Mama. Any way you do. Well, Mama, she done told me. Papa done told me too. Son, that guy you fooling with, she ain't no good for you. But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right, Mama. Anyway, do.
Elvis Presley with That's All Right, recorded on Sun Records, July 5th, 1954, released 2 weeks later, featuring some tasty guitar work by Scotty Moore. Our guest Jimmy Vivino has been playing with Conan O'Brien's band for over 20 years, and it's given him the opportunity to be around some icons like Scotty Moore, for example. Here's Jimmy.
And one more Scotty story, which is really great. And he said, yeah, you know, me and DJ were sitting in the airport one time, and we're we're getting ready to take a flight to meet up with Elvis somewhere, you know, and we hear Bebopalula on, you know, coming on somebody's radio or something, and we're saying, God, he went and cut without us because he thought Gene had nailed it, you know?
Yeah.
And that the band had nailed their thing, you know, had really nailed their thing on that cut, you know? And it's true. If you listen to it, it's true. Though Gene was wild, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the early recordings. Later on, it gets into some, like, Who's Pushing Your Swing, you know, stuff like that, which is weird, you know? It's not the Blue Caps anymore. But the early stuff, the Cliff Gallup stuff, you know, is just, that becomes second in line of what's important to learn as a guitar player, I think.
Yeah.
First, get the Sun Sessions, then get those early Blue Caps, you know, Gene Vincent stuff, and learn that Cliff Gallup stuff. And then you're pretty well into a pretty deep vocabulary.
Oh, sure.
Things, you know? And then when you realize how many records Joe Mathis and Hank Garland are on, it's pretty amazing, too.
Yeah, it kind of blows your mind there.
Yeah, that these stone country and jazz players were doing it, too. And then you see Barney Kessel out here playing rock and roll and Herb Ellis, you know?
Yeah.
And Kenny Burrell on records. They all, everybody, because really, it's a lot of what Charlie Christian played, you know? It's a lot of what T-Bone Walker played. This is the rock and swing connection again.
Sure.
That really exists, man, because, you know, those guys were swinging down in Nashville, the players. You know, they really were. As you can tell, I'm almost more interested in the Sidemen than I was in the artists.
Yeah.
You know? And what made the records great, you know, and most of America or most of the world only hears the singer.
Sure.
You know, they listen to music that way. And I'm listening from the bottom up, you know, to what's making this record happening. And I've always found that I'm trying to discover who it was playing on it, which is why today it's a drag when you go to iTunes or Spotify, you download something or hear it, and there's no track listing with who plays on it.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, it is amazing when you do start getting interested in the musicians and you realize that's, you know, James Burton on, you know, Ricky Nelson,
yeah,
or...
Yeah. And on Susie Q.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like, man, that's just, that's pretty, it's pretty, and then you start going down a path and you start finding all these connections, and it's pretty interesting. It's kind of a never-ending journey, which is cool, because we're always, I know for me, I'm constantly finding stuff that just was not on my radar, you know, the recording in the 50s.
Man, and everybody I talk to, from Al Cooper to Johnny Rivers to anybody to Dion, they say, man, we all bought those Ricky Nelson records to hear James Burton.
Yeah, that's great.
You know?
Yeah.
No offense to Ricky, because Ricky's records are really good.
Yeah.
Know? He's sort of the sweet rock and roller. He's not a shouter or you know, a guttural at all. He's very sweet and innocent sound to his voice.
Yeah.
But really, Burton kicks it up. You wait for Burton, you know?
Sure.
There's something great in those records about waiting for Burton to bust in and do something. That's usually not that much, you know?
Yeah.
It's not five choruses. It's not over the top. It's just a perfect thing for the record. And that's what you have to stress. What you learn as a studio musician or a backup guy, it's serve the singer and the record. Don't say, this is my chance to shine. No, it's your chance to follow up the record a bit, you know, but do your thing. Sometimes it gets crazy, and then we love those records. That's like too much with Elvis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've been waiting ever since 8. Guess my baby's got another date. Stood up, broken hearted again. I'll bet she's out having a ball, not even thinking of me at all. Stood up, broken hearted again. Well, I know just what I ought to do. I ought to find me somebody new. But baby, I couldn't forget about you. Stood up, broken hearted again. Must I always be the one left behind, never having any fun? Stood up, broken hearted again. But I guess I'll go on being a fool, sitting around just waiting for you. Stood up, broken hearted again.
Well, I know just what I ought to do. I ought to find me somebody new. But baby, I couldn't forget about you. Stood up, broken hearted again. Stood up, broken hearted again. Stood up, broken hearted again.
That's Ricky Nelson with Stood Up, released in December 1957, featuring James Burton on guitar, another influence of our guest, Jimmy Vivino. Well, man, do you have a request for the show?
Well, we should play Too Much. You should play it. You've got to play it.
Oh, there you go, man. That's
play Elvis. All you guitar players out there, give a keen listen to the second chorus. The second, again, there's like a second solo, you know. I think Elvis propelled lead guitar, you know, into the forefront at a time when saxophones were taking all the lead on all the New York records anyway.
Oh, sure.
All the doo-wop records have a sax break, you know.
That's a good point, yeah.
Elvis and Scotty, yeah, that started guitar break, you know. So we can be thankful for him and Chuck, of course.
Well, buddy, I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, see you now.
Right, bye-bye.
Share your heart too much when I want some love and you're gone. Don't you know you're treating your daddy wrong? Now you got me started, don't you leave me broken hearted. Gonna love you too much. I need your love all the time. Need your hug and leave me mine. A fool for your charms. Take me back, baby, in your arms. Like to hear you sighing, even though I know you're lying. Gonna love you too much. I need your loving all the time. I need your hugging. Need me mine. Need you near me. Stay real close. Please, please hear me.
It's the second annual Nashville Boogie Vintage Weekender.
It's a Nashville Boogie, boogie to the break of dawn.
May 12th through the 15th at the Opryland Hotel in Nashville Palace. In Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. Musical guests include Reverend Horton Heat, the Queen of Rockabilly, Wanda Jackson, the Blasters, Hokey Lafarge, and over 30 more artists including Dale Watson, James Infill, Slim Jim Phantom, Dibs Preston, Levi Dexter, the Planet Rockers, Marcel Pontempi, Big Sandy and his Fly Right Boys, the Go-Getters, Rosie Flores, Woody Pines, Hillbilly Casino, Chris Casello, and lots more. And don't forget the Western Roundup Fashion Show by Riley Reed, the Pinup Pageant by Bernie Dexter, and the Indoor Pre-1972 Car Show, and the Sunday Night Grand Finale Party at the Grand Ole Opry featuring Chris Isaac. It's the Nashville Boogie Vintage Weekender. For tickets and information, go to NashvilleBoogie.com, and we'll see y'all here. Your source for rockabilly, blues, surf, roots, early country, and rock and roll. This is the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Hey, big thanks to Jimmy Vivino for spending time with us, spinning some tunes, and telling some great stories. Speaking of tunes, we still have some more great ones for you, so don't go anywhere. This is from the self-titled release from Diablo Gatto. She just wants to rock and roll.
Well, she ain't got no time to settle down. She's been rolling in love in overtime. Well, she told me so. She just wants to rock and roll.
Yeah.
die.
Title cut from their album By My Side, that's Carolina and her Rhythm Rockers. Now we have time for one more rocking to us all the way from Prague. It's the band Twisted Rod from their album Boozin' and Boppin'. Here's Trapped Love on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Been listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Find us online at rockabillyandblues.com. That's rockabilly, the letter N, blues.com. You can send us your comments and requests from there as well. Stay tuned next time for more great music and interviews. Until then, it's Jam and James Riley saying keep on rockin'.